From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel. They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan, the Tennessee pal, Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are tuning in to our Strange News program, the evening it publishes, let us be the first to welcome you to Monday, April 28th, 2025.
Welcome to April. It's so spooky. Wait, this isn't the spooky
time. Is that an RFK impression? That's pretty good.
No, it's just spooky.
RFK would be like, welcome to April.
I mean, he has a waiver. He has a bit of a, he's got a bit of a crypt keeper.
Like golf just doing it.
No, it's very hard to do that voice without choking on your own spit.
I also learned recently, guys, on the Daily Zeitgeist that apparently as a Ute, Tom Waits would scream into his pillow to help create his raspy voice.
I do that every night. Just the state of the world.
Mm-hmm. What's like the most screamable pillow?
Oh, it's the My Pillow.
Yeah, of course. But of course. Hey,
great. That guy's in the news as well.
He is. Yeah. Oh, real quick up top, I just wanted to ask you guys something since we're having a minute to catch up. Yeah. I was watching some YouTube doom scrolly type things, the little shorts. I've been up on the shorts lately. And somebody pointed out a new arrangement for the press briefing room at the White House, which is essentially a standing room section that is devoted to quote unquote new media. But a lot of these folks, one of which I saw a quote from and whose name escapes me, represents particularly far right and less, let's just say, journalisty kind of news outlets.
I thought you were going to say represents the lollipop kids.
That's also true. They definitely the Lollipop Guild, indeed.
Lollipop Guild, you're absolutely correct, by the way. I did write to the current administration because they have an open application online where you can request to be a, as a new media member or podcaster, you can request credentials and to be allowed there.
I guess what I was getting at is it seems like since it is at the discretion of the White House press secretary as to who gets to ask questions, when the deck is stacked a little bit with some of these, let's call them sympathetic folks, you end up generating a lot of news bites that are very pro-administration. And some of these folks literally ask beyond softball questions. Sure. Like, isn't it
President
true?
Trump as the best president 100%. In the history of the concept of humanity. Isn't it true that you're also fun at parties?
It is very much that vibe. And it just, I don't know, maybe I'm stating the obvious here. Doesn't it feel like a ploy or a tactic to erode journalism, to erode the idea of what constitutes journalism? And obviously it fits in with the whole concept of the fake news. And it just feels another, like a very 1984 kind of thing. That's all.
Yeah. Guys, speaking of tertiary characters in your favorite movies, can we talk about how dirty the Lost Boys did Rufio?
They did.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to be our cold open.
I just listened to a discussion on my favorite podcast, Blank Check, with Griffin and David about Hook. And
are you serious?
Yeah.
I watched it last night.
Well, Bangarang.
Bangarang indeed. Listen to the episode, Matt. You're going to be fresh on all the details. And it's a great podcast in and of itself, but they're doing the latter day career of Steven Spielberg. They do directors' kind of filmographies in series. And there was so much I forgot about Hook. And been on my list to rewatch. Watch as well. It's not good, right? Like it's amazing.
It's Bangarang. They invented the word Bangarang.
I remember their clubhouse was a kid's dream come true.
Yeah, like everybody's eating like brightly colored gas.
That's exactly right. And skateboarding, I want to say, it reminded me of the Foot Clan's hideout in the first Ninja Turtles movie, which made me want to join the gang.
Specific vibe for the 90s. This is 1991, and they're imagining eating magically colored stuff.
And if you believe Robin Williams, if you believe
in the power of imagination, then you'll never be hungry again.
Okay. That sounds nice.
Dude, Rufio, spoiler alert. Ready? 3, 2, 1. When Rufio takes that hit from Dustin Hoffman.
Right.
Captain Hook. The titular Hook, yes.
He dies immediately, and everybody just keeps going. And that's it.
I am. They did him so dirty. In Hook, I do remember watching that thinking, what happened to the power of imagination? Can't they just, like, believe this guy back into life?
Dang, man.
Oh, that's a good point. You think they could just, what is it, snap your fingers? Clap your hands. That's what you do. You clap your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Rub your hook. Watch out for that, gator. We're going to talk about some likewise surreal things. We had some conversations off mic about people that we've already dunked on this industry before, getting to not quite space, edging into space for maybe 10 to 11 minutes. As we're recording this, there's going to be a huge merger on the horizon for credit card companies. So any credit card companies in the audience tonight, that one's going to be for you. Please don't get on a list when you are. Please don't get on a list with your personal medical records. We've got so much to get to. A new crime just dropped that I think we all will learn about. We're going to have Kenya come up in a little bit. But before we do any of that, why don't we take a break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll come back with some credit where due and some FDA news.
Geico gives you more coverage for whatever you need, from a dead battery to a flat tire to a fender bender. And you get 24/7 help and fast claims with the Geico app. It's a total car coverage combo, kind of like the combination of EDM, death metal, and smooth jazz. I think this could catch on. Whatever you need, get more with Geico.
You don't want vacation to end, but with Amex Platinum, you earn 5 times membership rewards points on prepaid hotels and more booked through AmexTravel.com, so you're already planning the next one. Book your room with fine hotels and resorts through Amex Travel and get an upgrade when available, plus guaranteed 4 p.m. checkout, so you have time to check out the pool before flying off to what's next. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/withAmexCST 1022318.
Fresh Florida blueberries. In a world of jumbo-sized snacks and artificial flavors, Florida blueberries stand proud, bursting with antioxidants and ready to tackle hunger, one delectable bite at a time. From muffins to smoothies or straight out of the carton, they are the tiny titans of taste, delivering freshness as bold as they are blue, proving once again that good things come in small packages. To see what Florida blueberries can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com today.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
And we're back. We're getting federal government up in here, everybody.
The sexiest thing to say at a party.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk federal government. Guys, on April 22nd, Reuters reported, U.S. FDA suspends milk quality tests amid workforce cuts.
Tight.
You know what I like? Untested milk.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. You know, when I walk through a grocery store, what I like to feel is the sensation of risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to think we're rolling. Beat me here, Dylan. I like to think we're rolling the fucking dice. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Is there cyclospora in this milk or cheese? Maybe bird flu? Who knows?
Does this figure into the conversation around raw milk? Isn't RFK a big fan of raw milk? And it's sort of been like state by state as to whether it's legal or not. Unprocessed, unpasteurized milk.
It may, but in this case, this is the agency, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, that is suspending its proficiency testing for grade A raw milk and finished products. So any milk you can buy that would be considered grade A that you buy on your store shelves, the kind for human consumption, it is suspending the testing for that.
So the assumption is it's probably fine. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, everything's fine. Okay, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, to be clear, nothing is improving for the cows.
Yep, cows still in their enclosures, continually just given milk through all kinds of weird tubing.
And are they okay? So they're suspending their quality control. But Matt, from what I understand, the argument is that the FDA is outsourcing this or transferring.
Yeah. Okay. According to the FDA, it's being transferred. This place, the FDA's Moffitt Center Proficiency Testing Laboratory, is quote, no longer able to provide laboratory support for proficiency testing and data analysis. This is all according to an official email that was sent. However, a Health and Human Services spokesperson said the laboratory was, don't worry guys, already set to be decommissioned before the staff cuts, and proficiency testing will be paused during the transition to a new laboratory, but product testing will continue, guys. It will continue.
All right, wait, question. What's the difference between proficiency testing and product testing?
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows? There's a proposed $40 billion cut currently happening at the agency via the Trump administration. And this is also really coming about because of the 20,000 employees that were lost from the Department of Health and Human Services. So, you know, milk testing will happen. It just won't be happening in the same way by the same people at the same places. It'll just be new, guys, and new is better, he said, hopefully. Speaking of changes in the federal government, guys, the CDC recently had to say, sorry, we can't help you, to a couple of cities that were dealing with some lead stuff. Officials in Milwaukee and Wisconsin's state health department formally requested the CDC's help on March 26th after many of the city's schools were found to have, quote, significant lead hazards exposing children. And according to CBS News and Alexander Tin on April 11th, the CDC basically reached out and said, no, we cannot help you. A statement from the email received by CBS News is, quote, I sincerely regret to inform you that due to the complete loss of our lead program, we will be unable to support you with this. As in, because of the staff cuts at the federal level at the CDC, there is no longer a lead program that can help out any city, state, whatever, with testing lead and providing basically ways to fix a lead exposure problem, like within a school, perchance, or maybe a citywide problem.
Yeah, despite the fact that there are pretty rigorous studies showing lead exposure, especially during formative years, can have consequences down the road. It's kind of a thing we were talking about off air. We have an episode coming up on lead exposure. And Matt, Noel, Dylan, folks at home, it's a bloodbath over there right now. Like the amount of cuts, I think we all probably have a couple of friends who were working in public service who were unceremoniously given their walking papers, or they got that really weird email for voluntary resignation, depending on their department. I'm going to say it. I don't think this is like a good idea long term if you support the U.S. as a concept.
I would agree with you. Other officials, like within this story about Milwaukee schools, they are saying this is why it is so important to have state level and local level folks who do things like test products, you know, milk, test for lead in pipes, and then know how to actually go through a triage and help the students or, you know, human beings who've been exposed to that lead, and then fix the pipes that have the lead in them that are seeping it into the water supply. They're basically, it's an interesting argument. It's both, we no longer have help at the federal level, but also this is why we need to be as good as whoever those folks were at the local and state level, which is an interesting argument, right?
Yeah.
Because there are budgets, you know, local and state budgets to maybe create things like this. It's just how much of that money coming in via whatever taxes or whatever incentive programs do you actually put towards health and human services stuff?
Right. And how different should thresholds and priorities and accuracy be from state to state?
City to city, right?
Or city to city, right. Yeah, people who are critics of the current direction are going to argue that this feels like balkanizing the United States, turning each of the 50 states into their own sort of sovereign territory with an erosion of federal law. And there is, I mean, not to be alarmist, there is some validity to that argument. Like, what if you imagine, what's a city a lot of people don't think about? Bismarck, right? Okay, so we're in Bismarck, and people love Bismarck because now it's a tourism advertisement thing to say, hey, we're known for not having poison in the milk.
Yeah.
Come to Bismarck. You know what I mean? The town of clean milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just weird because how do you test all of the products coming into Bismarck? I mean, right. Do you test every single, how do you do that?
How do you afford it?
You know, I feel like you need a federal program or something larger, at least sitting on top of everybody who's producing a product and say, hey, those folks are going to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I don't know.
Welcome to El Paso. You might get a finger in the chili.
But the milk is just fine. Oh, good. Guys, let's continue a little bit on a previous discussion we've had before about Red 30. That is an artificial petroleum-based food dye that recently we talked on this show about how the U.S. government is looking to cut that out, cut it out of our food supplies. If you imagine that scene, if you have seen the 1991 bangarang of a film, Hook, You may imagine the props department using a whole crap ton of petroleum-based food dyes to create those, I don't know, sloppy pies, squishy whatever the dishes. Heck they were.
Yeah. They're basically like neon-colored gack.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Rufio!
Yes, that was prime Nickelodeon slime time, you know, zeitgeist-wise. Yeah, for sure.
Well, they sure used it a whole bunch, and now the FDA, again, the Food and Drug Administration at the federal level of the U.S. government, is phasing out the use of petroleum-based synthetic dyes by the end of the year, according to an announcement by the agency that occurred yesterday as we're recording, Tuesday, right. April 22nd. This comes to us via CNBC, by the way. Guys, this could be huge. It's one of those things we talked about even before all of this other stuff when we talked about food additives that are allowed within the United States government, according to the FDA, and those same food additives that are banned in most other countries.
Yeah.
And how maybe it's a good idea to jump on the old bandwagon and get those out of our systems as well. The FDA appears to be taking steps.
The people left at the FDA appear to be taking steps.
Yes. And specifically, I was going to say Robert Downey Jr., but it's not him. It's the other guy, Robert Kennedy Jr. But anyway, it is interesting that it's happening now. We're talking red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue 1,
all the
blue
favorites.
2, green
all the slow
2.
Jazz. Yeah.
All getting out of here, including red 3. So,
not red 3.
It's not red 3. Line.
Come on.
Yes.
Red 3 is the reason we started this show.
I only drink sports beverages that have red 3 in them. I will die on that hill, possibly literally.
As an entity that doesn't have like you guys full spectrum of color, I appreciate that the additives have numbers beside them.
They just
you
know what I mean? Nice. Man, they just make the bevy hit different, you know.
That's right. Well, guys, according to FDA Commissioner Marty McCary, The agency, FDA, plans to authorize 4 additional color additives using natural ingredients in the next few weeks. Yeah. So maybe even by the time you're hearing this. They are also expecting to review and approve other natural ingredient colors.
Cool. How do we define natural?
Well, it's not based in the stuff we pull out of the ground and then refine and put in our vehicles.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Which is very natural, I suppose, in a way.
I'm okay guys, with all of this.
One last thing, and then we're getting out of here for the segment. Huge news.
Yes.
I don't know what's in your wallet, but this one company is really stoked if they've got one of their pieces of plastic in your wallet. Capital One, they had this little idea. They said, why don't we buy Discover Financial Services and Discover Bank for around $35 billion, $35.3 to be exact.
Reasonable.
Let's buy that and let us become the credit card company that exists on the planet, like the biggest one. And the Federal Reserve had to check it out. Guess who else, guys?
Who?
The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency had to check out the deal.
We love a comptroller! Yeah. What do they do? Unclear.
Still, to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And
it's kind
of
like
Justice
a parliamentarian.
Department.
Well, what's the deal again? I'm sorry. We gotta remind everybody.
The comptroller is the person with the stamps and the signage. Yeah. They go, yes.
They troll the comps.
So they're like a mega notary, basically.
No. They're the one that checks off everything. Like the last line of defense for fiscal things, services, depending on what you're in.
We should write to them, Matt. I like that. The last line of defense. That's going to sound so like sexy to them.
They probably get a custom stamp, too.
Last line of fiscal defense. And they, despite that excellent tagline Matt just gave them, they co-signed what is arguably a problematic monopolization of one of the most sensitive parts of Western life.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's pretty weird. Capital One has around 100 million cardholders. Discover had around 300 million. So then you put them all together, that's 400 million cards out there. That's not individual card holders if you add those two up, because many folks have multiple cards. It is interesting with the two of these companies combined, because they have often targeted folks who are considered by these financial services to be either lower income or lower on the credit scale, so around a credit score of around 600, and they offer cards often with cash back and things like that, that the financial services, like Capital One and Discover and Visa and all of them, say are more popular with folks of lower income. That's the way they talk about it.
Sure.
It's really gross, actually.
And Evicor just had a happy accident saving those companies money.
Sure.
Well, but basically they're teaming up to make one giant financial credit services group with huge interest rates. And I don't want to say preying on anybody. I just mean...
I mean, you kind of have to if you're being accurate. Like, we don't want to say it. That doesn't make it not true.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, because there are a bunch of credit card issuing banks like JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, a bunch of them that are like, we're a bank, but we also offer credit cards.
Sure.
This is like... one of the primary ones that are going after people who don't have a lot of money and can't afford to, you know, pay 17, 23, 30% interest rates on stuff.
Usurious.
Yeah. Anyway, have fun with that one. We'll see where all of that goes. Guess who's really happy? The shareholders. Everybody who owned Discover stock just got a bunch of Capital One stock. Discover stock was upwards of $100 per share, and Capital One is well above that. So everybody who held shares is going to make a crap ton of money.
Everybody at the meeting is having a great day.
That's a great way to put it.
Everybody at the meeting is having a great day. Also, if we could always be closing, if you want to learn more about the history of credit cards as a concept and why credit scores are absolutely ridiculous, check out our peer podcast, Ridiculous History. Matt, we're still trying to get you to come back on the show.
It's gonna happen. We're going to twist
one
your
day. I'll do that thing, but not right now. Right now, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
For everything you do, the all-new 2025 Chevrolet Equinox is the SUV to help you do it. It has the technology you need, including an 11.3-inch diagonal touchscreen with easy access to your apps, maps, music, and more. The cargo area is loaded with possibilities, including folding split bench seats and hidden underfloor storage for flexibility. There's even an all-new trim named Active, with a rugged off-road inspired design for those whose passion begins where the pavement ends. And the Equinox is number one for new vehicle quality among compact SUVs in 2024, according to J.D. Power. The all-new 2025 Chevy Equinox. It's everything you want in an SUV. Learn more at Chevy.com/Equinox. J.D. Power award based on 2024 models. For J.D. Power 2024 U.S. Initial Quality Study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for up to 60% off site-wide. Backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Spring cleaning? Sure, if we have to. But we're way more into spring streaming. Finding something to watch shouldn't feel like a chore, so we let Xfinity's entertainment experts do all the heavy lifting. They drop handpicked TV, movie, and music recommendations right into your social feed. New premieres, returning series, exclusive interviews, the top music playlist for MyHeartRadio, and all the must-watch moments. It's giving flowers and finales, fresh air and fresh entertainment. So take a break from those clean talk videos. Follow Xfinity on Instagram and TikTok for the best spring streaming picks.
The best AI assistant isn't one that knows the whole world. It's one that knows your world. A custom assistant built on Watson X with IBM's Granite models can leverage your trusted data, be easily trained on your workflows, and integrate with your apps. It can be tuned to do just what you need, because the more AI knows about your world, the more it can help you do. Learn more at ibm.com/productivity. IBM. Let's create.
And we've returned with a oh man, this is a real chestnut. Is that a thing? It's an old chestnut. Yeah. Whatever.
Chestnuts are real.
They are, and they're tough nuts to crack, apparently, as often is the case with a conspiracy theory run amok. We do live in a time where disinformation seems to be more prevalent than ever, with all these accusations of fake news media and fake news story and mis and disinformation and, dare we say, outright propaganda. All over the world and very much in this country of ours, the United States of America, with all of that stuff flowing around, kind of muddies the waters to an alarming degree in terms of what is to be believed, what is to be taken at face value. And for good reason. I mean, we have deep fakes. We have, you know, more and more convincing uses of artificial intelligence, machine learning, rather, to create images that never really existed, that absolutely look convincing. Video footage. They've even gotten hands better. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but the AI modeling tools are much, much better at generating hands. That was always the big tell as to whether something was AI slop or not. This story isn't about AI necessarily. This story is about space and conspiracies surrounding a particularly, I don't know, self-congratulatory, let's just call it, PR space flight from Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin space program, space company. He's competing, of course, with Elon Musk's SpaceX, and you know, definitely making some headway in terms of privatized space flight. Whatever you think about that as a concept, it is happening, and Bezos is one of the figures at the forefront of that. I guess as a way of drawing attention to his efforts, he and his company devised a PR stunt, photo op, let's just call it, wherein a handful of celebrities who are women were gathered together, six of them, in fact, for an 11-minute space flight into near-Earth orbit. Near-Earth orbit, I believe about 63 miles above the Earth's atmosphere, which is high enough to achieve zero gravity type effects and all of that good stuff. The internet, however, as it is wont to do, is calling foul on this whole thing, saying that it never really happened, that it was simulated. The very familiar sounding conspiracy theories, given all of the talk around the faked moon landing, the supposed faking of the moon landing, the idea that it was something that was devised and set up on a studio backlot in Hollywood, potentially even directed by the great Stanley Kubrick, all of that. One of the classic conspiracy theories that we have talked about at great length on this show.
That is true, by the way. Stanley Kubrick did fake the moon landing.
Cool. Okay.
But because he's such an auteur, he said the only way they could do it realistically is to fake the moon landing on the moon.
Oh, yeah. He was like the proto Christopher Nolan. That's what Christopher Nolan would do. Like, there were all these jokes surrounding the idea that he actually wanted to detonate an atomic bomb, you know, for the shot in Oppenheimer. So the women in question are Katy Perry, pop star of, Matt pointed out, I Kissed a Girl, I think was her first big hit. Firework, which I think is an absolute banger. I'm quite a big fan of Firework. And then, or Fireworks, perhaps. And then a little later, she had a song that was pretty inescapable called Dark Horse with a pretty laughable verse or feature from the rapper Juicy J, wherein he compares the beast of karma to Jeffrey Dahmer, in that it can eat your heart out. So that's a real clever turn of phrase in there. But I quite enjoy some of the music of Katy Perry. She has of late kind of been lampooned quite a bit by pop culture aficionados, media critics, etc. Because, I don't know, she did this whole kind of like feminist kind of rollout for her most recent record. And it just came off very, very heavy-handed and very, very kind of look at me, rather than actually speaking to real things behind the idea of feminism and empowering women, et cetera. It was just, I don't know, kind of a little bit tone deaf, you know, the rollout of that record. She had, I think she were like, you know, she was dressed up as like Rosie the Riveter and things like that in a music video, and it just pretty much got absolutely crapped on by just about anybody, and the record did not do well. She does have a world tour coming up, and I guess what better way of promoting your world tour than participating in an elaborate space flight PR event. So it was Katy Perry along with Gayle King. Gayle King is Oprah's best friend. Oprah and Gayle. That's right. I'm sorry. A friend of the show, Anna Hostey of Daily Zeitgeist fame and other things, Los Culturistas, all the big hits these days. Just I saw she posted from a Broadway play that she recommended, the name of which is escaping me, but said that Gayle and Oprah were sitting right behind her. So it had their seal of approval. So along with Katy and Gayle, we also had Lauren Sanchez, who is a journalist, a helicopter pilot, and also the author of a children's book called like Fritz the Fly or something like that. I might be getting the name wrong, but she's also Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, and Amazon CEO's fiance. Partner. We also have Amanda Nguyen, who is a civil rights activist who advocates for victims of sexual assault and bioastronautics research scientists, something that she also does. And she has worked with NASA in the past on the space shuttle mission STS-135, as well as NASA's exoplanetary Kepler space telescope. So no slouch there. We also have film producer Carrie Ann Flynn and a former NASA rocket scientist and CEO of engineering firm Stemboard and founder of a company called Lingo that teaches students technology skills. Her name is Aisha Bow. So all of these women convened in one of Blue Origin's West Texas launch facilities for a big televised event wherein they boarded the ship, the shuttle, I guess you'd call it, were blasted off into space and then posted videos from their near Earth orbit zero G experience and then returned back to Earth. The whole thing lasted a whopping 12 minutes, I believe. And this took place on April 14th, as we sit here on April 23rd. What's the internet saying? Well, there's a couple of points as to what they believe, or the collective they believe, is happening here. There was one particular clue that was highlighted quite frequently, which is that when the ship landed, or the it's called the, I believe the New Shepard is the name of the pod or the shuttle, when it landed, as part of the ceremony of it all and the kind of photo op of it all, Jeff Bezos was supposed to open the door, the pod door, let's just call it, for saying sci-fi about it, with this like special tool. But before he got to it, you can actually see the door opening inward and then quickly being closed. Okay, so a lot of folks on the internet seem to believe that the door should not have been able to open from inside because it's supposed to be pressurized, and if it were to be openable in that direction, that the pressure of space could potentially, you know, force it open. So that's one thing. However, according to NASA, hatch doors should, in fact, be able to be opened by a single crew member without any special tools from both sides. So the idea here would be that they opened it, kind of jumped the gun, and then realizing they had made a mistake, closed it really quickly and allowed Jeff Bezos to have his photo op. The Daily Mail reports on this, and that is their conjecture, and that is confirmed by some NASA scientists that they spoke with. This whole mission, by the way, is called Taking Up Space, and the idea was that it was meant to promote STEM education for young women. All of the crew members wore these fashionable, more fashionable than your average spacesuit, very Star Trek-y, honestly, blue skin-tight jumpsuits that were designed by Lauren Sanchez. The central image that I'm talking about is the one that is causing folks to do a little bit of a head scratch, at least on the internet. With all this talk of Illuminati conspiracies surrounding celebrities and, you know, dark satanic rituals, even dating back to things like Pizzagate, to the idea of the elite participating in these, you know, dark occult kind of activities. If you look at the image, it is kind of a, you know, a space pod kind of image, stylized with stars and all of that stuff. It has the names of the crew members emblazoned around the edges with little corresponding icons for each of them. Katy Perry gets a shooting star microphone kind of thing, and the filmmaker gets a little reel of film. But if you flip it upside down, it really does start to resemble the head of our good old buddy, the Dark Prince himself, Lord Baphomet, who is often used as a symbol of the Church of Satan, which, as we know, isn't necessarily interested in the actual worship of Satan, in the occult. They are more of an organization about civil liberty and about, you know, owning one's own destiny, do what thou wilt, let that be the whole of the law, and all of that good stuff. Baphomet for them is more of a symbol of protest and of, you know, kind of being down on the man, or, you know, rejecting authority and all that. So when you flip it upside down, it does kind of look like a goat-shaped head with a snout at the bottom. The wings of the craft become the horns. And yeah, it's causing some folks to really, you know, call into question whether or not this thing was a PR stunt or some sort of elaborate satanic ritual. There's an image that's also being noted where Katy Perry is seen holding her hand over the patch, supposedly indicating her swearing her allegiance to the Lord Baphomet. One observer on X commented, "Katy Perry swearing her allegiance by placing her hand adoringly and lovingly over her Baphomet logo. They tell you in so many ways who they worship." Some folks even pointed out that in 2011, Katy Perry had a music video for her song E.T., wherein she is depicted with goat-like legs, which is, of course, a long-standing symbol, often related to, like, Pan or other kind of pagan depictions of satyrs and, of course, Baphomet himself. So what do you guys think? Do you see it? It is kind of entertaining. There's also people talking about how an upside-down cross can be seen as well, if you really, you know, if you squint at it enough.
Yeah, while you were walking us through it, I shared one of those images with that badge upside down. And I can totally see the paradelia of it, for sure. Just here, let's
remind us of that term. Is that about pattern seeking?
Right. That's where you, that's the human tendency to maybe see faces or see patterns where there might not be. So I'm going to reshare this thing you were describing there for everybody. Mm-hmm. As we can, like, as we're all looking at it now, would love to hear just like group reactions. You know, I get that if you are looking for something, you are going to find the thing you are looking for.
For sure.
Not to sound like roomy.
No. Yeah, I get it. It's very zen of you, Ben. Another commenter had this to say. It really sums the whole thing up. "Did you notice the logo on Katy Perry and her fellow Blue Origin space traveler's patch is the satanic goat with an upside down cross? If you flip it over, goat horns, celebs, fake space." I don't think space is in question here, but perhaps fake space travel. Also acknowledging a reference to 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Yeah, but Baphomet's not Satan.
No, he's not.
So, like, let's get our lore together real quick.
For sure. Baphomet would be perhaps considered, like, one of the lesser demons, kind of like in the, what is it, the Key of Solomon, sort of like Paimon and all of that stuff. Baphomet is he like a prince of hell? What's Baphomet's deal?
Well, Baphomet, the name, is relatively young as far as the demon game goes, but Baphomet had the distinct privilege of being part of the accusations against the Knights Templar.
That's right. And also considered a misinterpretation of Islamic beliefs. Some scholars believe that the name is a corruption of Mahomet Muhammad, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. This leads some historians or speculators to argue that the Templars were indeed, to some degree, following Islam.
And if I'm not mistaken, Ben, aren't the Knights Templar often lumped in with Illuminati conspiracies? Isn't that sort of part of it?
They know what they did.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. So this is, it does feel like part of that larger conspiracy bubble of, you know, celebrities being in some way inducted into some sort of shadowy secret cabal. Accusations have often flown around surrounding even like choreography of Beyonce. I think there was some stuff talking about how Beyonce and Jay-Z are part of this. And recently Coachella took place in the Indio Valley there in California. And a lot of articles started swirling after Lady Gaga's performance, accusing that of being some sort of satanic ritual. So this isn't like the first, you know, satanic rodeo. It's maybe just the first one that's accused of happening in space. So, you know, I know we're running long on this. There's a couple other quick points I'd like to hit. One being that when Katy Perry was in space, she holds up a little butterfly sticky note kind of thing. Apparently, it's really hard to read. It has text on it indicating her set list for her upcoming tour that I was mentioning earlier. However, some internet conspiracy theorists have said that that is actually a reference to MK Ultra and a form of mind control, because apparently the image of the monarch butterfly representing metamorphosis and change has been long associated with that program, which is actually something I didn't fully realize, but it does make sense. So there's that. There's also a thing about like a fake hand that was visible. Ben, I see you nodding. That one sort of flummoxed me a little bit. I didn't quite get to the bottom of that one.
There's a still that's going around, as well as some video footage after the capsule comes down, of a view through the window where there's a shiny looking hand that many people online have said, hey, that's a mannequin's hand. That's a fake hand in the window. But again, it's pretty baseless. It's just kind of the whole, I don't know, the rumor thing starts. Guys, I'm looking at that image again of the capsule flipped around, the actual mission image.
This is the patch. Yeah, the logo, right?
This is an all-female mission. It is about taking up space and promoting STEM for girls, right?
Yes.
Think about what the Blue Origin spacecrafts look like. They look like dicks.
They do.
So they do.
Very much so.
And not all of that is due to necessary function. There's a little bit of aesthetic.
Interesting. Exactly. Didn't occur to me, Ben.
This image of the spacecraft is tilted in such a way that it looks a little less phallic. I think that was done purposefully. So I think any shapes you're getting when you flip it over are due to the desire to make it look a little less like a huge dong.
That is a really good point, Matt. So it's a PR move. It is further part and parcel of the publicity stuntness of it all, right?
Well, it's 100% a PR move. We were talking off mic before we recorded tonight's program, where I had asked someone to explain who Katy Perry was, because I'm super plugged in to human culture. And then the next part becomes this. It would be fascinating to look at the financials of Blue Origin and see whether this sort of PR stunt is actually financially advantageous to them, right? You can take the hit. You can take the PR hit if the investors are still coming through because now they like your mission more and they get to say, oh, look at that badge. Blue Origin doesn't look that much like a penis. We should give them money.
That's a very good point, Ben. And I will say, too, that the biggest takeaway from this whole thing is just the sort of tone deafness of it all.
The Kardashian-ness.
Yes, with a Pepsi can. 100%. Yeah. That aspect. Sure. You know, Katy Perry coming down and making these very kind of lackadaisical claims of, like, you know, we've heard of this idea of the overview effect. And it is, I'm sure it's very cathartic. And it's something that maybe we can all one day experience as well. But right now, the ability to experience that for regular folks is absolutely out of reach in terms of price. Like, I believe it costs about $1 million. Once space tourism truly begins, in earnest, that's about what you're looking to pay.
Are we making the real question here philosophically is, if we are making space, are we making space in this conversation for other people who are not celebrities and multimillionaires? Or is it just sort of like Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin pitching ideas and not really hearing responses?
100% that. And then, funny that you should say, Ben, I think your version of the mission name was a little less tone deaf. The real version was taking up space, which is kind of what these billionaires do, you know, in terms of taking stuff that other people could benefit from and not giving back. So to me, like, taking up space is just sort of absolutely ill-conceived. And like I was getting to Katy Perry making these comments of, you know, you never know truly how much love you have to give until you've gone to space. It's like, cool, I guess we'll just have to, you know, settle on the amount of love that we are aware that we have to give without having that experience that you shared, Katy Perry. So there you go. I don't know. It just felt a little gross to me. I don't think it was faked. I do think that stuff is interesting and very much part and parcel of the kind of thought experiments that we enjoy on this show. But all of it checks out. I think it happened. And I think the fact that it did happen is maybe even more offensive and obnoxious than if it were faked, which why would they do that? I will say one thing that hasn't been addressed that I do think is interesting. I did see a video of an actual astronaut, a woman whose name is escaping me, I apologize, from, I believe, the International Space Station, where her hair is absolutely up completely, you know, a huge mess of hair. Katy Perry's hair was much less unkempt looking. It was just gently kind of hovering. I would argue that maybe the difference is how deep in space you are that would increase the gravitational effect. Am I right? That if you're further into space, more than just 63 miles, you're going to have a heavier amount of zero gravity effect that would maybe cause your hair to react differently. What do you guys think about that?
We'll never know.
I guess not. Well, what we do know is we're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, then come back with another piece of strange news.
For everything you do, the all-new 2025 Chevrolet Equinox is the SUV to help you do it. It has the technology you need, including an 11.3-inch diagonal touchscreen with easy access to your apps, maps, music, and more. The cargo area is loaded with possibilities, including folding split bench seats and hidden underfloor storage for flexibility. There's even an all-new trim named Active, with a rugged off-road inspired design for those whose passion begins where the pavement ends. And the Equinox is number one for new vehicle quality among compact SUVs in 2024, according to J.D. Power. The all-new 2025 Chevy Equinox. It's everything you want in an SUV. Learn more at Chevy.com/Equinox. J.D. Power award based on 2024 models. For J.D. Power 2024 U.S. Initial Quality Study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Spring cleaning? Sure, if we have to. But we're way more into spring streaming. Finding something to watch shouldn't feel like a chore, so we let Xfinity's entertainment experts do all the heavy lifting. They drop handpicked TV, movie, and music recommendations right into your social feed. New premieres, returning series, exclusive interviews, the top music playlist from iHeartRadio, and all the must-watch moments. It's giving flowers and finales, fresh air and fresh entertainment. So take a break from those clean talk videos. Follow Xfinity on Instagram and TikTok for the best spring streaming picks.
What makes TD Bank a you-first kind of place? Maybe it's how we're a greet you and your dog by your name kind of place. Because putting people first is how we put you first. That's how TD is making banking unexpectedly human.
And we have returned. There is a lot of stuff we're not going to get to, but we will follow up on the promise of a new crime that just dropped. Dylan, if we could get an air horn. Perfect. Yeah. Welcome to wildlife piracy.
Cool.
A crime that, or a name that we like for a very real thing. Just earlier this April, as reported by Evelyn Musambi for AP News, two Belgian teenagers were charged with this crime, wildlife piracy, after they were found with thousands of ants. They were smuggling ants.
Okay. They're
19-year-olds. Apparently, they were arrested on April 5th in Kenya at a guest house with 5,000 ants in their possession.
And they going into the ant farm business? To what end?
They said they were collecting ants for fun. They didn't know it was illegal. If you guys go to the article I mentioned there and shared, it looks like a professional operation. Like, they have the ants in these tiny graduated cylinders.
What is this, a school for ants?
Mm-hmm. And what it gives me, one of my favorite recent government statements, which is this: the illegal export of the ants not only undermines Kenya's sovereign rights over its biodiversity, but it also deprives local communities and research institutions of potential ecological and economic benefits. So, word to the wise, remember, when in Rome, follow Roman law, right? Mm-hmm. So no breaking the laws of the land that let you in. Also, don't steal ants, I guess.
I didn't know.
I just love a heist.
How is one to know? I feel like we've all... Is it about scale?
We've all accidentally stolen ants.
But it must be about scale, right? Like, it's at a certain point, you're like mining a resource, and maybe you have to report that to the proper wildlife authorities. Like, is it illegal for me to collect ants from my backyard and make myself a little ant farm situation?
It depends on what kind of ant, honestly, and where you're at.
Endangered ants.
Right, because there's a very good, fascinating, I should say, if not very good, argument about which life form on Earth is the most successful. And when it comes to higher order, multicellular life forms, ants get a lot of credit for that because of their adaptations. They do things without anthropomorphizing that could seem very human. And not, we're not talking about just the nice things. There are ants that enslave other creatures, things like that. Like, they got the classic human. I'm bringing this up. Matt, do you have any thoughts before we move on this one?
I didn't know that that amount of ants is worth around $7,700.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've all accidentally smuggled some insects before, not naming names, but you know, we might go on hikes and find we've accidentally smuggled some ticks.
I smuggled a tick on my butt, basically.
It's your story to tell, bro.
I didn't know. I was in the shower and he was like, "Hey, I'm down here, man. What's going on?" And I was like, "Stop, dude. Get
that
out."
That is a perfect tick accent, by the way.
Yeah.
People.
I hope it was. I don't know. He was just doing his thing. But yeah. And now I'm on antibiotics. So thanks, tick.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, just in case.
Just in case. Yeah. I want to get that Lyme disease.
Also, yeah, Lyme disease episode has been in the works for a few years here. But yeah, we're mentioning this because it's a funny story. I regret to inform friends and neighbors, fellow conspiracy realists, that these two young men did not, in fact, have the ants in their pants.
Damn it.
So missed opportunity on that. We're going to take a sudden shift in direction. We're going to stay with Kenya.
Yeah.
In a few years back, you guys may remember in 2023, we covered a story in our Strange News program about a death cult in Kenya. Mass suicide, organ theft. This is one of those rare situations that made international news. Remember talking about this, possibly?
It's been a minute. I do remember the basics, though.
Yeah, more than 200 people died at the time of reporting. 600 were reported missing. And now we have another story coming to us via Reuters. Reuters has reported that two bodies were recovered from a church in Kenya. And the discovery has not just the local population, but the authorities worried that there may be another kind of starvation or self-harm cult in play. The bodies were retrieved from the premises of St. Joseph Missions of Africa Church in Migori County. And this like just happened. We recorded on April 23rd. This happened a couple days ago. And I always try to keep the eye on the cult activities. In addition to the two cadavers, they rescued almost 60 people who were being held there against their will.
Okay. Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's not good. And apparently they went to the hospital, right? Or they were sent to the hospital, but then they reacted differently?
Right. When they were, this is the part about what the nature of consent, right? Because as you're saying, Matt, when they rescued these 57 people and took them to a nearby hospital for medical care, many of them refused treatment and instead began to sing religious songs. This is
creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. But if people are adults, then, you know, they can do what they want, right? As long as they're not harming others.
Oh, for sure. But I just mean, it just seems a little bit like spooky. I don't know. Like, were they doing this in protest? Like, or is this seeming spontaneous? Like they're reacting to some unforeseen indoctrination or force or something? I guess I'm just confused.
Yeah, things are getting hairy there. And this is a story that we need to keep an eye on because these charismatic cult-like institutions, right? They can do serious harm to people, and you're not going to be able to tell sometimes as an investigator or as just a bystander walking by unless you're in the inner circle. And it can, these conspiracies can have real life consequences. Obviously, we're not here to denigrate anybody's, you know, personal beliefs, but if your institution of belief is asking you to do things that cause harm to yourself or others, it's time to take a quick think. Maybe take a walk around the block. You know what I mean? Get a quesadilla, right? Listen to some jazz. I don't know. I don't know what the answers are. But I wanted to bring this up because we have an upcoming episode, a continuing series on cults you've never heard of. So this is a clarion call to all of our fellow listeners to please let us know about some other cults that you think the public should be aware of before there's another Waco situation or another Jonestown, which unfortunately, historically, is always a non-zero possibility.
Ben, I sent you guys in our group text another kind of alarming cult. I think maybe that was it. It was one that I was like questioning whether or not we had covered because it had some things in common with the Mother Love, I believe, the one that there was a documentary made recently about. But I'll have to put my finger on what that was. To your point, though, Ben, there's more than enough new entries for an updated episode coming up.
Right on. Yeah, agreed. And we actually didn't get to the story of that cult whose name begins with a Z. And we're short on time a little while back, but while we have everybody, I've got one more thing that I think we do need to talk about. We can save some of the rest of it for a different program in the future. Guys, Mexican cartels, I'm just going to give you some keywords. Mexican cartels, one. Casinos, two. Okay. China, three.
Wow.
Fentanyl, four.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. My money's running to the laundry like there's something smelly on me. Mexican cartels are using casinos to launder money made from fentanyl in the U.S. At least $1.4 billion U.S. dollars linked to various cartels that are working in a Charlie Day level red string map of proxy companies with if not the knowing cooperation of Chinese regulatory bodies, at least with a willful blind eye.
I mean, money spends. Jeez.
Casinos, a great place to launder money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the old Vegas ad, right?
The second to what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Which is
send also your kids to the
one.
Pool, launder the money, circus, exactly. Circus.
Mm-hmm. Circus, what a weird place.
what a weird place. Apparently, the relationship between Mexican cartels and Chinese businesses involved in the fentanyl supply chain goes way beyond just selling the stuff that you can use to make fentanyl. You know what I mean? Like, you can sell various metals. Right. Yeah. You could sell various metals, which could be a precursor to a firearm. You're not responsible for what happens to that metal after you sell it, right? If someone chooses to manufacture a gun, that's no longer your remit. However, selling precursor chemicals and claiming, no, I didn't know, only goes so far.
Yeah,
you know,
because
what I mean?
What else are they good for, right? I mean, is that the issue?
Fent. What is it good for? Yeah, what we're finding is a couple of different things. I want to shout out the Latin Times and the journalist Hector Rios Morales, who had a great piece on this on April 21st, 2025. According to reports that are coming from the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, I wonder when those guys are going to start getting layoffs, they looked at fentanyl-related illicit transactions tied to the two largest cartels in Mexico. And what they found was that between January and December of 2024, various financial institutions filed well over 1,200 suspicious activity reports related to that point, the purchase of precursor chemicals, the trafficking of fentanyl, and of course, money laundering. It goes so deep. It's not just like, okay, I'm bringing this up because we have a lot of friends and family who are more familiar with casinos than the four of us here. We actually, Dylan, I think you and I hung out at a casino for your very first time a few years back. Is that correct?
Yeah, you gave me like $10 and I put in a machine. I hit the wrong button and I didn't get anything. It was a Big Bang Theory machine.
So we we called it goodbye money. I think that's how you approach Vegas. But this is for these cartels and people participate in this global successful criminal conspiracy. It's not goodbye money, it's hello money. You know what I mean? And my question for you guys, I don't want to monologue, my question for you guys is, how do you launder money in a casino? Do you like take dirty money and get a bunch of chips and then take those chips back and get cash for the chips? Is that it?
I guess, I mean, just the fact that it is such a cash business and there's so few of those that are by their very nature that thing that aren't going to be looked at askance, that it totally makes sense that this would be a way of going about that. But I don't know what the actual mechanism would be.
Okay, Matt, you're shaking your head no as well. What if we, like, is there a financial threshold such that past that amount of money, if you try to get chips or cash in chips, you have to fill out like a lot of heavy paperwork? I know you have to fill out some stuff, right?
Certainly for gambling winnings, they do have to be reported to the IRS, but I don't know at what threshold that is.
Have to. Yeah. Whoever still works at the IRS.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
those poor guys. Look, this feels like a further investigation ahead. I posit to all of us together tonight that it seems increasingly implausible and indeed naive to argue that U.S. authorities are not aware of this. Maybe factions are complicit in this. I don't know. What do you guys think before I start pulling in Oprah and be like, you're corrupt, and you're corrupt?
I will say that I do know that, you know, gaming licensing is a big deal and that proprietors of casinos are always very concerned with losing their gaming licenses. And so they do, I believe, to the best of my understanding, go to great lengths to make sure they're in compliance. So this certainly wouldn't be something that would be done willy-nilly or without an appropriate amount of kind of smokescreen, you know, because I think it would be pretty easy, to your point, Ben, for Uncle Sam to find out and then, you know, act.
Mm-hmm.
To me, casinos are just a weird thing to be okay.
Big deal.
I don't understand why it's okay.
How is that a thing?
Right? Other than there are people who agree that they're okay that get paid. you pay somebody to say, yes, it's okay, then they make a bunch of money and you get some of that money.
And therein lies the issue with the licensing, where it's like it's only okay up to if these conditions are met. And it's the same reason that, like, when you have advertising for any kind of gambling, you have to be very clear and expressly state the resources for folks to find help if they have gambling problems.
To Matt's earlier point there too, it's a great observation that there aren't any I am not aware of any like grassroots nonprofit pro casino organization. Like, I've never seen an interview with someone on the news saying, the lobbies, I don't make any money off of this. I just think it's important for people to have a hot hand at blackjack. That's what means, you know, step aside human trafficking. I chose my thing that I'm gonna fight for. You're right. You know, money is a superpower, right? It's a physical or a conceptual representation of labor over time, right? Therefore, money as power can be corrupting, right? It does make institutions and individuals corruptible. So it feels like people are aware of the connection with cartels, Chinese companies, proxy entities, and casinos laundering money. But it also feels like a lot of powerful people don't want those links to be investigated in depth.
Understandably so.
So what do we think, guys? We'll get to one piece of good news before we wrap up. There's a lot we didn't get to, but overall, does this feel, this fentanyl casino money laundering thing, does this feel like an episode in the future?
Absolutely.
Let's break it down.
Yeah, let's get into it. Yeah, let's see if we can make it back to Vegas, right? Oh, I think we all have different personas in Vegas, so we should be fine. It's not
as long as I can be the bag man.
Yes, sir. We've saved the seat for you.
I got a little lost. I just want to go to Vallejo now and find these dang Zizians.
The Zizian cult. Yes, that's the one we didn't get to last time in Strange News. It's a disturbing story. Tune in for Cults You've Never Heard Of, Part 3. We'll end on some good news, I think, I hope. Studies show that more U.S. residents are using psilocybin than ever before. The rates are shooting up due to some decriminalization acts, right? Which also makes people less hesitant to self-report or to, you know, tell the truth on a survey or something. There's a great study. I found out about it from Science Daily, but it was originally published in the Annals of Internal Medicine in just a few days ago on this Monday past. And what they found is that people who are experiencing mental health conditions appear to be finding some sort of mitigation or comfort in the use of psilocybin, aka magic mushrooms, probably the most common version of that here in the U.S.
Absolutely. And there's it's becoming more and more prevalent, and I think with for good reason. And when used appropriately under the supervision of like the right kind of therapist, I have seen great results from folks that I've spoken to that have participated in that kind of stuff.
And with that, we would love to hear from you, fellow conspiracy realists, to the degree that you are comfortable. Tell us your experiences with hallucinogenic substances. Tell us your hot take for or against it. Let us know if you have experience working with the federal government. Let us know what you're going through. We've had a lot of great correspondence there. Let us know if you work at a casino. Give us the dirty business on that one, right? We did an episode on stuff they don't want you to know about casinos, and I think it holds up. So we can't wait to hear from you for all of that and for more. You can find us on the internet. You can call us on the telephone. You can also give us a line any old time you like at our good old-fashioned email address.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook with our Facebook group. Here's Where It Gets Crazy. Get in on the conversation. Join your fellow Australian listeners in recommending some Australian cinema for us to enjoy. We want to thank all the folks who have reached out, giving us some really great recommendations for classic Australian films to check out. Looking forward to doing that. You can also find us at Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for your perusal. On Instagram and TikTok, however, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Our phone number is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, it is a voicemail system. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know within the message if we can use your name and message on the air. If you don't like voicemails and instead want to send us an email, we've got that too. Shoot us a line. We are
the entities that read each piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. What are we talking about? There's one way to find out. Take a step further away from the light. Join us here in the dark. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
When you travel with Amex Platinum, the stops on your bucket list come with a room upgrade when available.
Look at that view!
And guaranteed 4 p.m. checkout at fine hotels and resorts properties booked through AmexTravel.com, so you have enough time to check out the pool and the spa. And anything on the menu.
Ceviche sounds good.
Before flying off to what's next. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmexCST 1022318.
Fresh Florida tomatoes. These ripe red rubies are the jewels of the produce section, making every dish a real gem. Sliced or diced, pureed or sautéed, they are the soul of soups and salads, the toppings of pizzas and pastas. They put the T in BLT, literally. Is there nothing the Florida tomato can't do? Florida tomatoes, the Swiss Army knife of vegetables. Even if they are a fruit, technically. To see what Florida tomatoes can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
What makes TD Bank a you first kind of place? Maybe it's how we're a greet you and your dog by your name kind of place. Or how TD is a here for you in person and online kind of place. Wait, it's definitely because we're a check your balance from your phone, whether you're in the concourse or on the golf course kind of place. Because what makes us you first is how we're people first. That's how TD is making banking unexpectedly human.